VWA, mobile. N4RJN, what you up to, Steve?
Went over to a buddy of mine's house to play antenna tuner.
Alrighty. What are you putting up?
Well, he's already put up a vertical that has a boatload of radials on the ground. And it's an older antenna. And we just don't know where the SWR is. So we're going over there. We're going to see if we can try to get it in close to where he can use it.
Understood. Well, you have a good time. It's not too terrible cold out here, about 50 degrees. The breeze is a little chilly, but good luck with that.
Well, right now my truck says it's 60 degrees out here. It's balmy.
I took the dog out just a minute ago, and I thought the breeze was just a wee bit cool, but, it's not near as bad as it was this morning when I went to get the paper.
If it's 55 degrees or up, I can get by with just a nice vest on and do just fine up until it gets to about 65, and then I got to just come out of everything. That. When I say come out of everything, I mean my jacket or my vest.
I have no idea how many people are relieved to hear that, but yeah. I just checked my phone. It's saying 61, but it's cloudy, so there's no bright sunshine, so it feels colder than that, at least to me.
I grew up in West Virginia and Kentucky for the first few years of my life, so the weather here in the upstate, I've never really had a problem with it until it got down in the 20s like it did the other night. Now, that was cold. That was just too cold. So I'm counting on you to climb down off of that wallet and turn the thermostat back up.
Well, the wife's out of town, so I have turned the thermostat up. She keeps it fairly nippy in here, at least by my standards, but she's not around, so I've got it fairly warm in here now.
So how much longer are you a bachelor? Through next weekend?
Up till about Friday. I think she's either going to come home Thursday or Friday.
Well, shoot. And you didn't let me know how the after party went after the first net with you went. Man, I bet that was a throwdown.
Right after that was over, I had another beer and went to bed.
Like I said, that was a real throwdown. Well, you've got it next Friday night, right? Well, I don't have any grandbabies next week, so I'll definitely catch it.
Hang on a minute. Let me look at the schedule again. I think Dave's still scheduled for next Friday, but I don't know if we swapped for March. He's got me in second week of March, Friday the 13th. I don't know if he wants me to take it next Friday or not. I'll have to ask him.
Well, okay, next time you hear me on the radio, let me know for sure. Now, he was on there last night, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was on last night. Tonight it's Mark, W2MJB.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure that when you do it again, it will be with panache and flavor.
My little extra I threw in there, think about reproducing the sound that a 3,000-year-old mummy would make if he were alive today.
Okay, I'm game. Go ahead.
The article upstairs, basically researchers reproduced the shape of his vocal tract, his throat and whatnot, which is unique to each person, and hooked it up to an artificial voice box and made a sound, kind of like an either a or a. But they couldn't quite reproduce his voice. Let me let your tongue and your jaw also influence what your voice sounds like, and his tongue, of course, is dried out and flattened. But they think they can use a computer software to actually reproduce and simulate what that shape should be, and then using a 3D printer, they make a replica of his throat with a tongue and a jaw that move, and then they can get him to actually speak.
Yeah, okay. You know, that sounds like, what was that? First human being's piece of a skull. They found a piece of the top of the skull in, I believe it was North Africa, the cradle of humanity, and they interpolated what the rest of the person, it was a female. How they decided it was a female, I don't know, but it was a piece of the top of a skull. So how they interpolated that? That's stretching it.
Sure, there were one or two other bones involved in all that, but the researchers at the University of London said that they could then recreate his voice and actually get him to speak and put that in the museum in the mummy display, and so the mummies could speak to you as you went through there, which to me sounds, you know, both fascinating and creepy as all get out. But I did mention that if they give the mummy a ham radio license, we'll be more than happy to take his check in.
John walking by one of those talking mummies, and that mummy saying to him, hey, give my wrappings a tug. No, not there, right over here.
You know, advances in science, what can I say?
Yeah, boy. Well, you know, they kind of lost me with some of that stuff several years ago, you know, like with their cancer research in California. The state of California decided that saliva swallowed over a lifetime can cause oral cancer.
Somehow I missed that little tidbit, but yeah, okay.
I feel like there for a while they were touting the benefits of coffee enemas to help prevent colon cancer, too. I remember that one back from the 80s or 90s.
I think a whole lot came of that, but the state of California has found that just about everything on the planet is causes cancer in sufficient quantities.
Did air cause cancer, lung cancer also? But then again, the air in L.A., I believe that.
Here in L.A. will peel the paint off your car and the side of your house.
Way back a couple of decades back, that was having problems with the cars and getting ringlets on the cars from acid rain.
I hadn't heard that, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, because even cars coming out of Detroit had these little round circles in the paint after they just come out of production, and acid rain was dropping on the cars depending on what day it was produced, if it rained that day. And I had a cousin while he was in college that was employed by a dealership that would try to buff those little ringlets out of the paint. They kept him employed for almost 2 years that way, buffing paint.
Guess that's job security, if ever there was.
I can just picture him getting asked what his occupation was. I'm a professional paint buffer. I'm a PPB. He made enough money to get through college, and I forget what he wound up doing. The career he graduated with, he finally gave up on and went whole new career field, and he did fairly well.
I'm sure it didn't have anything to do with buffing paint, though, right?
So in sort of a roundabout way, it did, because he was a chemist. And if you remember, I don't remember the decade. It was either the mid-80s, I think it was, when they took the lead out of all paints. See, lead was the bonding agent. And that was back when the cars, the clear coat would just turn white and come off of the cars, and the cars would turn white on the tops. I believe that he worked with DuPont when DuPont had their coatings division, and he helped develop new coatings, not necessarily in automotive, but industrial coatings, where bonding had been an issue when they took the lead out.
Interesting. It sounds like a satisfying career, dealing with stuff like that.
Well, that's the career he went into after he graduated college, and I forget what his primary degree was in, but yeah, he switched over to that, and he finally retired from DuPont about 5 or 6 years ago. They treated him pretty good.
More than most people. I can tell you that.
Yep. Well, listen, I'm just about to destinate over here at my buddy's place. He's in Bowling Springs. And we're gonna jump on this thing and see if we can get him on the air tonight. Did anybody make mention of the South Orkney Islands last night on the net?
I recall. Why? What about them?
South Orkney Islands are just a couple of little islands off the coast of Antarctica, and a de-expedition has gone down there, and they've set up, and they're going to activate the South Orkney Islands, and there will be thousands of hams trying to get confirmation of contact for that little bitty landmass out there. So, and I'm going to be one of them. So, anyhow, it ought to be interesting.
Well, when I went to the rag shoot last night, I bounced out, turned the volume down. I was doing something else, and I may have heard bits and pieces about something going on, and that might have been it. I'm not sure.
Another friend of mine said that he thought he heard them on, I think it was 20 meter, and but he could not get it. He just barely heard them, so they must be doing CW on low power, and they're going to get the rest of their stations up so that they can do that. Well, I'm destinated, bud. I'm going to jump off of here. I'll talk to you later. 73s, this is KN4, VWA, clear.
Take care of yourself, Steve. KN4RJN, I'll be clear.
Jill Air, N0TR.
Good, what's up?
And they was on 7005 last night, and they was split up to, oh, I'd say 7009 or 710. And they had a decent signal on there. I didn't listen on 20 meters. I've been busy today helping my neighbor wire his garage. And so I haven't listened. They were on, and that was CW, of course. And they were on 20 CW. But I've seen very, very sparse numbers that were getting them today. Mostly, if you look at 2RZ, you'll see that anytime it's all European stations there on the left side, you're probably not going to get anything. But I did see one American contact got him on 14023. But be sure you go split, because, oh my God, it was a mess last night on 40 meters CW. And then they started bickering, and then they started keying up their amplifiers, and I just shut it off.
Yeah, now, was that CW or phone?
There you are. That was on CW, Steve. I didn't see anything on phone on them last night. They would have been on 40, I'm sure. No joy there.
Okay. All right, well, good deal. Thanks for that information, Tom. Well, I got to jump out. KN4, VWA. Clear.
Running CW up till now on 20 meters. A little bit of 40 last night, but it's all CW.
Did you get them, Bob? I tried four or five times there to get the split right, but I didn't work at it very hard, and it was a god-awful mess.
I had a good loud signal on them last night on 40 meters when I used the beam rather than the receive verticals. I had a good signal on them, but it was a zoo of lids, and I had no luck last night. I've been watching the cluster all day today. And they've been on 20, 14023, up between 2 and 10. I have not seen any U.S. stations work them. I think I heard you say you did, but as of this point, I have not seen anybody on the cluster reporting that they've worked them yet. But they've just got one station up, so I'm sure it'll get going.
Roger, Bob. This is NGOTR. No, I didn't work them. Bernice and I was watching the TV down in the basement there, and I went over to the cluster and seen that they were shown, and 7005 is my favorite frequency, by the way, but I hear them good most of the time, and then as it progressed, and I'd say it was probably about 8 o'clock, it just got worse and worse and worse, and all you heard was did, which was up, and everybody was telling him up, and some other ones were saying other things, of course, and then one's keying lids, and it's hard to discern which one's saying what, but I just shut it off. I figured, wait till later in the de-expedition. Unfortunately, if weather sets in or something, it might get cut short. That's the only bad part.
I'll set my alarm this morning. I'll get them. It's just a matter of how soon, but I will get them. I actually thought I had them until I checked, and I realized I was thinking of a different one anyway. So it's one that I need, and I will, even if I got to stay up all night, I will eventually get them. But right now it's a little bit early because there's a groups IO board that you can monitor. The pilots are reporting what's going on. You can monitor that board. It's a pretty decent board.
Roger. I can see how they'd get frustrated, I'll tell you. Well, Bob, I don't wait till the last either, but on one like that, because like I say, weather could set in. You were thinking of the Falklands, I'm sure, South Falklands. I thought I had it also, because, guys, I've been doing it a long time. I'm sure they've been on, but I ain't staying up all night, but, I might get up early or stay up a little late, but not all night. I'm not that dedicated anymore. I could use them. I think I got 297. Someday I'd like to get 300, but I'm getting older and not as dedicated, but I'd like to get them. And it should be a hop, skip, and a jump for us. And I know it will be with you with that beam and that amp.
Well, I hope so. No, it wasn't Falklands. I've worked Falklands before. It was another one south something, I forget, down in that same area down there that I've worked to death. And I was trying to look here real quick to see who it was while you were talking. And I can't, South Cook. For some reason, I was thinking I had already worked South Orkney, but it's South Cook that I've worked like a million times all across the bands and the modes. But when I went and double-checked just to see, I did not have, it was South Cook or South Georgia Islands. So I do not have South Orkney, so I definitely need them. And my little spot meter just popped up. and it's still non-U.S. stations spotting him. Also, Ivory Coast is on right now, which is a pretty good one. They are, let's see here, Tango Uniform 5, Papa Charlie Tango, I believe. They're on right now, too.
Yeah, I've worked them quite a few times. Echo 51, South Cook, that's out in the Pacific, though. That's a whole different ballgame there, North Cook and South Cook. North Cooks are the rare one, of course, you know. But, yeah, there's some, I think there's some other small ones down there. South Georgia, I can't remember where that's at, Bob. I haven't been active lately, and slips my feeble memory here. But, like I say, I think we'll be able to get it easy enough. But I tried four or five times when I was watching the band scope and the split. But they was working a lot, I think, at 7009 last night. And that could just be me, because there was such a cluster of them that it makes it hard to tell.
Yeah, I've worked South Cook, South Georgia, South Sandwich, South Shetland, and I've worked North Cook as well. But the Orkney I do not have. So that, like I said, that'll be one that I'll definitely be looking to find here. I'm watching them. I already worked Ivory Coast all the way across the board except for 10 and 160. But I worked them a few more times just for this year, just for kicks and giggles, I guess. But, hey, did you ever get your beverage straightened around?
No. No, and I checked it out, and I put that other resistor in, and I'm beginning to think maybe it's the coax going down there. I'm getting deep. I got my mind on that South Sandwich. You said that. That might be the one you was thinking of, because I'm thinking that's down there around the Falklands, but I could be wrong. But anyways, Bob, that orange, it's not RG8, is it? Flooded? Get my head right. It might be that, but I measured the resistance with a good fluke meter, and it checks good. And I shorted out the end and then measured it, and it just had a few ohms of resistance, and you know how far it is down there, so that's probably about right.
Yeah, I don't remember where your feed point is on your beverage. To tell you the truth, I don't know how long that piece of, and it's RG6. And just FYI, Tom, I've got a spool of RG6 over here. If you need to replace it, I'm happy just to give you whatever you need. How many feet do you need?
You know, I don't know how far that is. Bernice, you got any idea?
Either.
I have to measure it, Bob, but I'd pay you for it. Oh, by the way, they screwed up. I give that power supply to Dave the other night, and he took it back with him, and he gave it to Vlad to get it repaired. And Vlad called me, and that was the nicest conversation. He's sure a terrific guy. And I'd never had the privilege of talking to him. And we had a nice long visit. And he said, well, I'll just give it to Bob. He said, Bob's working up here in the Asheville area. This is 0TR.
Cut this short real quick because I'm sorry. Duh. I just read it wrong. Never mind. If you measure how many feet you need, I'll cut you a hunk off. You can come and get it. I'll ship it down to you, whatever. And, I'm going to be seeing Vlad at our W4DXCC planning meeting Thursday, Friday, Saturday of next week. I've already spoke with him. He's going to bring the power supply. Dave's got some ferrite cores that I ordered from Jim that got sent over to Bill, that got sent over to Dave. So that's all coming next weekend when I'm in Tennessee. FYI, funny thing, South Cook Island is on 21305. I saw South and Island, and I thought it was South Orkney, so I hurried up and got over to 15 meters there. It ain't who I need.
Yeah, I think that's Echo 51, if my pea brain remembers rightly, isn't it?
Yeah, Echo 51, Juliet Delta, right now.
Roger, that's pretty common. But I remember many years ago they said if a de-expedition went from South Cook to North Cook, it was an extra $11,000.
Rare one.
Roger, it is. Well, it's beautiful out here, Bob. 59 degrees. I went over to my neighbor's, and he done most of the work because I'm not able to, and hung the boxes and things like that. He had a new 30 by 12 foot tin barn made for our garage, I should say, double garage. And I put in some breakers for him and wired him up. He's scared of electricity. And he said he'd do the receptacles on that west side. So I said, okay, well, I wired up the switches and that to the lights and whatnot. And I got done. I said, well, go ahead and flip the breakers on, Tim. We'll look for the smoke. Bang, that breaker clicked off. I about died laughing. And he jumped because I made him turn the breakers on. And guess what? I went down there and he had a black and a white wire on the same side of the receptacle. And that doesn't work very well.
No, that's a recipe for a little bang.
Yeah, thank God it was 110. Of course, I didn't call him any names or insinuate that he was a dumb you-know-what. And you'd love him, Bob. He's as honest as I am. And he just sold his big bass boat. And I keep trying to get him to put in more concrete over there. And he's tight as the bark on a tree. But just a wonderful neighbor. We have a ball. If he catches me out mowing grass, he'll heave an M80 out the back. And if I catch him, which I did yesterday, I'll heave one out the bathroom window. And we just have a ball.
A good neighbor like that. I've got a neighbor, actually all my neighbors except for one. The house right next to me, the big gray house, I believe it's haunted or it's got some kind of evil, because every person that has lived there has been a client, if you know what I mean. But everybody else around here, I got a doctor across the street or another guy that's retired, and we've got good neighbors here too. So in fact, when my Hummer was down, my neighbor rolling across the street let me borrow his truck for about a month while I was having an engine put in the Hummer.
Ooh, boy, I bet that cost. You're going to have to get rid of the wife. It'd be cheaper. Don't tell her I said that. Ah, shoot. Well, we call those alpha hotels, and leaving that to your imagination. But the good Lord had to create a certain amount of those, Bob, because he had to vent too, you know.
Yeah, that's like the ballast on a ship. They're all at the very bottom. That keeps the world kind of spinning.
Yeah, down in the bills. Yeah, shoot. Yeah, Tim's a good one. I'll have to show you the video of, he decided that he was going to put a firecracker in a 5-gallon trash can. And him and son-in-law. And I think this was after about 10 beers. I'm not sure. But, of course, I'm not accusing him of anything. Now, I've never seen him drunk, but they do have a few brewskis now and then on holidays. And this was one of those around the 4th. So I loaned him a Kansas firecracker. And it blew that lid 70 feet above my trees, and you just have to see the trash barrel to really appreciate it.
I can only imagine. We used to get these 10-minute smoke bombs, and let me tell you what, they would put out some smoke for 10 minutes straight, and we used to lob one over into my next-door neighbor's yard when they were swimming in their pool, and they would return the favor to us. And we had to evacuate.
Well, you know, I told Mitch, I said, Mitch, don't put the lid on that trash barrel. And I said, that'll develop pressure. I can't send the video. I don't know how. But I'll send you a picture of that 5-gallon trash can. I took one snapshot out of the video. And the video was okay, but Bob, I was rolling around on the ground in the grass and screaming and laughing so hard that there was more of that than there was of the trash can.
I personally would like to see the part of you rolling around on the floor laughing just as a Kodak moment.
All over him.
That was rolling around in the grass.
Hey, and good evening, Bernice. That's a Kodak moment that I missed, Tom rolling around on the grass.
Yeah, and there was a little Spanish fellow there, is a good friend of ours, and he was there, and he was videoing it. And I told him, I said, you want to get back from that, Rudy? I said, these crazy guys are nuts. I said, that's a big firecracker. I mean, it was. It come from the firecracker stand. And Rudy says, oh, my gracious. And then he started taking pictures of me rolling around the grass.
Looks like you all had a good time. Well, Tom, listen, I got to jump off here. I am making homemade nacho chips and nachos this evening for dinner. I'm going to go and kind of get started while I do that a little bit. And I got my tablet with me so that I can keep the cluster right in front of me just in case Orkney gets going. I would have thought by now we'd start to see some better signals coming in and some better some more stations coming online. But they're dealing with the Antarctic, so there you have it. You guys have a good evening. Good talking to you. Enjoyed it. And I will talk to you again. I'll have the radio on here. So if I hear something, maybe I'll call you up. Have a good evening, you and Bernice. Best 73s, N0TR, ND7J.
Okay, Bob. Well, I wanted to tell you, Bernice made a Boston cream pie last night, and it was a 10. And we're headed to Amy's now. Yesterday was her birthday, but they had basketball. And so we're headed down there, I don't know, for some prime rib or something that she's smoking. And it was Bernice's 39th birthday yesterday, of course, and has been for quite some time. that's what we're up to this afternoon, and hope to catch you again on here, Bob. I was watching the traffic here for a second. Great talking to you. I would choose Aruba far and above going to the South Orkney Island. See you later, Bob. N0TR.
Yeah, I think that Bernice needs to give you a little whack of the head there. I'll have a Boston cream pie, thank you. You guys travel, drive safe. And, yeah, we're looking forward to Aruba, boy. Bill and I have been doing this, that, and the other thing, getting things ready. And, in fact, I just called down there to make sure our licensing is all in place. And here's a bozo. I love these guys. They use the cluster as a chat room. When are you going to start doing 40, 20-meter SSB? Like, these guys are going to stop down in Antarctica and say, hey, everybody, ND7J wants us to switch over to 20 SSB. Stop putting those tents up, and let's go and swing around the antennas for him. I'll leave you that thought. I'm sure you're cracking up like I do. You have a good day, and enjoy the dinner. ND7J.
Yeah, I asked one of them on Antarctica one night. I said, I said, you know, I watch that Life Below Zero a lot, and I really enjoy it. It reminds me of Kansas. And the old boy says, well, you know, what's the difference between that lady up there in Life Below Zero and what it is down here, Tom? And I said, no. I said, I'd like to know. And he said, well, she has 50 below zero, and we have 100 below zero. That pretty well summed it up. So I don't think they're going to go out there and switch around. 73's Bob, ND7J, N0TR.
All right, Tom, good to hear you. We'll catch you again. N0TR, ND7J, and I'm just sitting here looking like this, as Larry would say. We'll be watching for the islands to get on the air. 73.